You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
There's a football game going on Saturday, Research Stadium. It is a sellout. Oregon State hosting Oregon. Trent Bray, former Oregon State linebacker, joining us now. What do you remember as a player in this Civil War rivalry?
Just an intense rivalry, the game, but also the atmosphere was just electric and just an awesome place to play a game.
All right, so give me an idea. Like, did those games mean more to you as a player back then, or is more made out of that by fans and media, and once the game starts, it's a football game?
Once the game starts, it's a football game. The lead-up to it is definitely different, especially back then when it was the end of the season and there was a lot, you know, that was really on the line, right? It was your last game of the year, and it dictated where you went postseason. So it was definitely back then, it was definitely more on it.
The emotion that comes along with games. Okay, so I've talked to coaches in other sports about this. I'm curious what you think about this, especially as a defensive guy, as a coordinator, a former coordinator. A lot of times we see emotion as a positive thing. Is there a danger ever in being too emotionally hyped, too hyped up? Do you lose focus? As a coach, do you kind of have to manage that, or do you worry about that, or do you just, do you handle that on a case-by-case basis? But is there such a thing as too much emotion?
There is. There's a fine line of emotion and being calm enough to enjoy the moment and, produce in the moment. And so we talk about our guys all the time about, that kind of curve of, your performance and your energy, and there's a sweet spot at the top where, you're high energy, but you're not too geeked out where you can't focus, you can't execute.
I'm looking back at these Civil Wars you played in. I covered these games. That's how old I am, Trent. I'm looking at this thing going, wait a minute, I was there. I don't have to ask him about that. As a player, give me a memory that you had, maybe a play or a moment, a memory, one of the games you played in. What would you start with if I just said, hey, let's talk about those Civil Wars you played in?
The 2004 game up here in Research Stadium was a big game for me personally, but also it was a big game for us as a team. That's the one that I always think of first when I think of the Civil War.
50-21 final score in that game in Corvallis, right around Thanksgiving. I feel like I should be asking you, how was your Thanksgiving? Because this game is this week. But, how did you feel playing at San Diego State? I was down there. It was a warm evening. You guys, got the early score, and then, it just felt like you were in control all of the way. I got to give a lot of credit to your defense.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, the offense moved the ball well. We just stalled out on drives, and so that's where we got to be better this week of finishing drives. But they were moving the ball good and obviously controlling the ball, and then the defense was getting off the field. And so I think both those factors led to us controlling the time of possession like we did and really wearing down our opponent.
The offense, you talk about finishing drives or getting more. Is it any one thing? Or, as you watch film, what becomes evident where those drives stall?
Yeah, it's when – big one was when we got behind the sticks early, and then you just, the defense is in control. They now can dial up their favorite stuff and exotic stuff and all that. When you control the sticks early, it makes it a lot easier. So when we were moving the chains, that was happening. And then when we stalled out, whether it was a penalty that happened or something got us behind the sticks.
I had one of my interns work on looking at you guys on third down because I thought, gosh, they were really good on third down. Look at the numbers in the box. Your average third down distance was 4.8 yards in that last game, which is remarkable. And I'm just looking here. It's third and one. It's third and one. It's third and five. It's third and one. You had a number of third and ones or third and threes. When you're in that position as an offense, that's a wonderful place to be.
Oh, there's no question. You dictate the terms now because your playbook is wide open. And also in a lot of those situations, you're in a position where there's a good chance – to go for it on fourth down, so you actually have two plays. And so that's a huge advantage.
How much during the game, you know, with the new communication going on and the ability to talk to a player, you know, how involved are you in talking to the quarterback or the linebacker or whoever's calling the defense? Or are you more just listening at that point as the head coach? Or how do you handle that?
Yeah, I'm listening. I certainly don't try to talk to the quarterback. I would just mess him up. But
right.
I'm listening, yeah.
Is it – because for me, I'm just going to give you a comparison. You know, I'm talking to you. Somebody might get into my ear that nobody hears on air. And it takes you some time to get used to that. As a coach, how do you control sort of that flow of communication that is going back and forth? You know, when do you know to pop in and say something? Mm-hmm. How much do you have to talk to your guys in the box? Like, hey, unless you're adding something, don't be chiming in here because we're trying to get, you know, get the play in.
Yes, keeping the lines clear and clean is important. Especially, you know, and I think Gundy and Coach Hayward have done a great job of when they talk to the players, not giving them too much. Hey, quick little information about the play mm-hmm. coming up, and that's it. Because I think I can imagine that a lot of these quarterback head coaches probably talk too much to their guy.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably some head coaches that would like to be in the ear as the play's developing, giving yeah. instruction as you go. As a player, would you have done well with the coach in your ear, you know, or did you like getting the signal and then being sort of the coach on the field as a, you know, as especially up, you know, in your last couple of years?
Oh, it would have drove me crazy having the coach in my ear. Yeah, I would have not let him put it in there. Yeah.
Trent Bray is with us, Oregon State coach. Okay, so give me an idea. You know, I'm going to say something you might get mad at me for, but is there such a thing as a good loss in this game, or is there only winning this game? Does winning only matter to you in Oregon State?
Winning only matters.
Do you think your guys understand what happened in the last year, the stakes, the emotion of that? We had Jack Thompson, the former quarterback at Washington State, on earlier, and he laid it out. He said, this is what it means to Washington State. Do your guys understand what it means to Oregon State, especially the new guys?
I think there's a good amount that do. There's obviously going to be guys that have no connection to the state or this game that probably don't quite understand it, other than it's a opportunity against a top-ranked team, you know, in Research Stadium, which is enough, in my opinion, for a guy to be motivated. But, yeah, there's definitely going to be people that don't quite get it because of the way college football kind of is now.
Trent Bray with us, Oregon State coach. The standing room only crowd, tickets are sold out. It's going to be a packed house. What do you need from your fans?
Just loud, and make it difficult for Oregon to operate. That was a huge advantage for us a year ago. You look at the home game, really the last couple of years, we've had such a great record at home. That's a big part of it. They just can't, third down, those critical moments, the noise really affects the opposing team.
You guys have looked really good. I mean, you've run the ball. You've done something that I think a lot of teams struggle to do throughout the season. I know there are a number of teams I've covered over the years. I've wondered, like, what is their identity towards the end of the year? And, gosh, they never found it. I feel like you know who you are. And was that a hard thing to establish? Or is it just a continuation of what you've had over the last few years? And, you know, because you don't find a lot of teams that establish identity from week one.
Yeah, I think it's both a continuation and, you know, we knew what we had kind of before we even started spring ball with our backfield, with the guys that we brought in up front and the guys that were already here, because Coach Devan had a great, you know, history with the guys we brought in up front. So he knew those guys as well as I knew the guys that were already here. So we felt really confident about the backs and the offensive line and being able to run the ball and be physical. So that was kind of, you know, both those sides. It's something that you do here at Oregon State and is necessary to win at Oregon State. And the skill that we have in those position groups helps do that.
I meant no offense by saying, is there such a thing as a good loss? But I'm just sort of looking at it, like, what is a competitor going to say in that situation? I'm just looking at it from 20,000 feet going, you know, this should be a great game. I love that it's going to be a great game. I think, you know, it's another example that sort of demonstrates that Oregon State belongs in a Power 4 conference and you get an opportunity. But how do you keep that from overshadowing what you have to do from an X and O standpoint, from a procedural execution standpoint. You know, it isn't like you can save the world and stop the war in Ukraine and, you know, fix the economy. And you know what I mean? You got to play a football game at some point.
Yeah, exactly. And that's been our focus all along. You know, with all the noise of conference and all this stuff is we control what we can control. And if we do that, we're going to be in a spot we want to be in at the end of the year. And we're going to be in a spot this university wants to be in whenever it shakes back up again. And our guys have done a great job of focused on what's important, which is exactly what you said. The execution, the football is what's important. All the other stuff falls in line when the football is good and you win.
Your quarterbacks, it looks like you've been playing two guys, giving, you know, just a little different look. Is that you want to get reps to your number two? Is it you want to give the defense a second look? Is it all of the above?
It's all of the above. Jabari has a unique skill set that we can do different stuff with that poses a very big problem for defenses. He's also a very talented young player that we'd want to continue to develop. So that's a big part of it.
I asked Jaden Robinson what it's like to tackle Jam Griffin. And, he said, sometimes I get him, sometimes he gets me. But he says, sometimes you see guys in games who don't want that smoke. let me go back to Trent Bray, the linebacker. What would that have been like to Jam Griffin, tackle that guy in space? You tell me.
He is hard. Both him and Hank are extremely tough to do. And really, I hated going against backs like them because they're short. They're not small at all, but they're short. And so their pad level and they have that size and strength behind it is different than hitting a big back that's a little more upright. You can win the leverage battle with them. These guys, you can't. So it makes it that much more difficult.
Who are your backs on the teams you played on? Who was the best back that you had?
Oh, Steven Jackson.
Yeah. Okay, so that guy. What was practice like with that guy?
Early, very painful for me. it got a little more even as we got older, but he still won more battles, but it got more even.
You just, like, you don't realize, like, I covered the NFL and I try to tell people you're in the locker room and those guys are mutants. You know, when you get to that level, it's just, you look at the offensive linemen, they're like giants. And then you look at the running backs and they're freaks. And linebackers are the same way. Everybody's just the freaky athlete at that level. And I don't think you quite get it unless you've been in a locker room, even as a civilian in a locker room, and you go, oh, wow, okay. This is why these guys play in the NFL. Steven Jackson was a specimen.
Yeah.
Could run.
Yeah, I think when he came in, he was 6'3", 225 as a true freshman. It was different. You knew he was different, yeah.
Yeah, suit him up now. Trent Bray with us. Okay, give us an idea. We know it's Wednesday, and are you going home now? Are you already home? What happens on a Wednesday night in Trent Bray's house?
No, it's late night tonight at the office, and then Thursday is the day when we get a little time after practice and everything to have some normalcy to your life.
All right, so late night, are you going over film? What are you doing?
Yeah, film. Tonight for me is a big night, going through all the bunch of games and situations that happened this last week, and continuing to study situations, when to use stuff, when to do stuff. Going through all the analytics part of it. So that's a big night for me tonight.
All right, week one to week two for you on the sideline with the 2-minute timeout and, just kind of the procedure and the flow of the game. You said after week one it felt like a really long game. Did it feel the same way in week two?
Not as bad for whatever reason. I know the game was quicker because of how we ran the ball, but the first game there just seemed to be like 100 timeouts every other play.
Yeah.
That was part of it. But the first 2 weeks, we've had a ton of situations, which has been good for me to go through, and we've done well in them, end of half, a bunch of fourth down situations. So there's been some stuff to learn from what did well, what I need to continue to improve on. So that part of it's been good.
All right. My wife has never seen the show Sopranos, so I'm forcing her. I'm saying, you got to watch this, so I'm rewatching Sopranos. Do you have a favorite all-time TV show that Trent Bray liked to binge watch back in the day or even now?
Oh, I don't know if I have a true favorite. I kind of, when I get into a show, it's always a binge but I don't watch a ton of TV, so it's kind of hit and miss. But I don't know if I've got one that I go to.
Were you that way as a college kid? Like, or did you watch Lost or whatever was on at the time? I can't remember what was on in 2003 or 2004.
No, I usually catch stuff like a couple of years after it's off the air. For whatever reason.
That's because you're busy, man. You're knee deep in it, and you should be. So that's a good thing. All right. Good luck on Saturday. I will see you at the stadium. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. That place is going to be rocking, and we wish you the best.
I appreciate it.
All right. There he goes. Trent Bray, Oregon State coach. Steven, come on now. Come on. That was good.
That was good. I loved his answer when you asked, is there any good losses? No, it's about winning. That was it. No other comments. Perfect. I loved that answer, Trent Bray. That's what it needs to be.
I asked the question, and I kind of ducked a little bit because I thought, okay, I got in a defensive stance.
You did. I could see it. I could see it.
Yeah? Yeah. All right. I want your phone calls. 503-417-7575. You tell me your expectations for the game. Are you fired up as a Duck fan, Beaver fan, neutral party? As a media guy, I was going to say media man. As a media person, I'm jazzed about this game. It's a meaningful game in week 3. Come on, leave it here.